Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Great to be with you. Nathan Brown is here. Ryan Girdle, of course. My name is Tony Squires. Emma Lawrence as well. In a moment, we're about to head north of the border and speak with Ben Dobbin. Just get you across what's going on in the Taipower scoreboard. The Broncos, just they were there at halftime, 14-8, they were down. But the Storm, 46 points to 8. Manly, too good for the Cowboys, 24 to 12. And Ben Dobbin joins us right here, right now. Dobbo, g'day.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you? Obviously, another big, heavy loss. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Everybody's talking about that great first half and, you know, They did have a go, but it was belting down rain, and it could have been Melbourne's worst half of football they've played all year. And when they copped the proverbial off their coach at half time, they came back out and flexed their muscles. And Brisbane, I mean, I don't know what you draw from it. I really don't.
In terms of positives?
Yeah, there's none. Like, I mean, they scored 8 points last week. They didn't score any points. Like, if I'm honest, you know, like maybe they've finally found Tom Dearden. As a seven who they can work with, he seemed to create some spark. But, I mean, they've still leaked in excess of 46 points, and that's been a week-in, week-out drama for this side at the moment.
Yeah, indeed. And the week, of course, had the AGM in Brisbane, and the decision was made that they would stick with the coach through to the end of the year. Earlier, it was the you win five or you're gone.
Yeah,
seemed a bit silly.
Yeah.
Are they happy after that AGM now with what they saw last night?
Oh, look, I mean, I always wonder, and Brownie, you've probably got a better understanding of this, but when the chairman comes out and says it guarantees the coach's job, you almost know that they're under scrutiny. It's almost 100% the surefire sign. There is no two ways about this, that at the moment they are not going to make a decision this week or next week. They're beaten by Melbourne. They play the Sharks next week, and then they got Canberra. Let's see if they've had 40 put on them by the Sharks and Canberra, whether or not they've still got the same appetite to stay loyal, because people are genuinely upset. People are, week in, week out, the old boys are upset now, and it's an interesting situation. Chris Johns is a shareholder of the Brisbane Broncos. So as a shareholder, you go to the annual general meeting and you write questions. And his two questions, I've seen them, were pretty brutal. He asked for an independent review of the club and not to be, and the people who are doing it, not to be chosen by Carl Morris. Well, that wasn't even read out. That question that he asked wasn't even read out. And so there's some questions about exactly whether or not in any way the AGM was handled. There was a lot of questions that were asked by shareholders that weren't read out. They just gave a sample of them, which has caused some dramas as well. So that's another simmering topic, but I mean, the big talking point for everybody is David Fifita. That's now the big topic on what happens to David Fifita. We're expecting Monday is the day that we're going to hear the answer. And I mean, if you'd spoken to me on Monday, I said he was going. Tuesday, I spoke to the club. They said they're still confident to keep him. Late last night, I got a text message that indicates that David Fifita most likely will leave Brisbane and head to the Titans.
Well, they bumped up the offer, we understand, haven't they?
Yeah. 1.25 next year, and then 1.1 the following 2 years after. I mean, it spreads out quite nicely. And I mean, Brisbane are rightly well within their rights as well. They're like, well, we can't just keep on going. This is a 20-year-old. We're not going to be dictated to, but he could be the best 20-year-old in the game, forward in the game potentially. And I mean, you can build a side around him. I don't know, Brownie Gerds and him. I don't know what you guys think. But I mean, it's just unbelievable money for this kid, but the Titans, if they snag him, they've now got Mo Fortuaiker, they've got Tino Fasua-Moali going there as well from Melbourne. How well did he go last night? You know, Hipgrave, and then Fifita, and you put AJ Brimson fit, and you can build something there at the Titans.
I mean, last year, Dobbo, when I watched the Broncos play towards the back part of last year, I was
when I wasn't working, I was doing a bit of work with the radio then and a bit of TV stuff. The Broncos would not have got anywhere near the playoffs if it wasn't for David Fifita. He just simply would pick them up and carry them over the line. Like, one week it'd, he'd run over five blokes and three of them he'd test plays and score. Then the next week there'd be 16 all and they'd give him the ball and he'd beat eight blokes, make a line break. Then they got the chance to kick a field goal. The next week he'd run over the top of Josh McGuire and score a try. So he just kept getting them out of trouble. And for me, what he probably did was, he was that dominant when he needed to be. He probably shielded some problems which we're seeing now.
Yeah, and it's really fair. Brisbane want to keep him, but I'm not saying it's arrogance on Brisbane's behalf, but they are literally being dictated to by a 20-year-old. And they don't really like it. Like, I mean, they've drawn a line in the sand. They're not going to raise their offer any more than $800,000 a year. They believe that that's a fair offer. In the current market, if you're not the Titans, it probably is a fair offer. But the mail I got last night in a text message was that it looks like that he put it, and I mean, it can backflip. He's changed his mind that many times, but it looks like he most likely is going to head to the Titans.
And then maybe, you know, gives them an opportunity to invest that $800,000 or $1 million into some senior players that have played 150, maybe 200 games, that can bring some experience. That's what they need. I mean, I know it would be a big loss. I understand how important he is to any organisation, a guy like David Fifita. But gee, they just stink of a club at the moment that just lack leadership and lack experience, and they need to bring that into that club somehow. We know who they've let go, but they haven't replaced the experience that they let go. Maybe losing Fifita and allowing those funds to be spent elsewhere is a blessing in disguise.
Brownie and Gerds, I'd love your thoughts on this. Last night, Gordon Taller suggested in our call, when we were calling that game, that, you know, with Harry Grant going back to Melbourne and Brandon Smith obviously there, that maybe, just maybe, Brisbane should have a real crack at trying to get Cam Smith to Brisbane and give him a two-year deal. And it's what he provides off the field and on the field for this side completely. I mean, on the outside looking in, I just laughed at it. But then the more you think about it, it could be a masterstroke if they were willing to lay down their swords and go after a bloke like Cam Smith.
Well, he's obviously going to certainly have a positive impact. There's no doubt about that. And he's going to help, I suppose, he's going to help fix a problem they got at the moment, which is the dummy half with the young Turpin out injured. And Turpin showed last year that he could play in the halves, you know, with the right people. So what Cameron would do is he'd give you some experience in one of the most key positions on the field, and he'd probably take a lot of pressure off their halves, which would help, obviously, not only help the young blokes, but help Milford quite a lot as well. Because next year, as it stands, they're going to have, if Tessie News at fullback, he's inexperienced. If Tom Dearden's at half, he's inexperienced. And Turpin's at hooker, he's inexperienced. So it's going to give him experience in a very key position, one. And two, what he brings to the table, obviously, not only on the field, but off the field, is going to be great. But if I was Brisbane, I'd be letting one of their middles go to keep Dave Fifita, because they've got plenty of middles there that are on big money. And it wouldn't be Payne Haas, it would be one of the others that are on big money.
Would it be Lodge? Would you let Lodge go? I mean, the Warriors are seeking. Is he the bloke to go? I mean, he's had a tough year with injury.
I made this point the other week. Sometimes with the Bronx, they've got so many good players, and it's not that you're saying that Tevita Pangai or Matt Lodge or anyone, that they're all really good players, and Matt Lodge could play for his country, you know, and so could Tevita Pangai's playing for Tonga at the moment, but he could play. All these blokes are outstanding players, but for the balance of your roster, for the life of me, you can't have three front rowers all earning $700,000+ and then let David Fifita go for $100,000. It just doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, unreal.
All right,
unreal.
Dobbo, just wrapping up, we mentioned earlier about Anthony Milford in the fullback role. Is that likely to happen again this week?
Yeah, they're gonna dig down with him, with Milf. And look, I mean, I feel for Milf. I really do. But, I mean, and we saw it. Like, he was out on his feet. I mean, you need to be the fittest person in the game to play fullback, and no disrespect to Milf, he just isn't. They are going to stick with him. I would have thought Darius Boyd would have been the obvious choice. They don't want to go that way. They want to keep Milford at fullback and play Dearden and Croft in the halves, so they're going to stick with that again. As of this morning, they confirmed that with me at Brisbane. They're going to stay with that again this week. They thought it showed potential.
Hey, Dobbo, why are they not considering Darius when you hear all of, you know, big names, commentators, former players calling for Darius to be back there? Do you have any idea as to why they're so against that idea?
because they haven't got anybody to play in the centres. And there's a stat doing at the moment that he's like the third best defensive centre in the game on one-on-one tackles. And unfortunately, at Brisbane at the moment, we're a stats-based club.
They're getting beat by 40 points every week.
Yeah. No, no.
Doesn't matter how good your defensive centres are.
It's a good stat there. Hey, the great Johnny Langdobber, you like this one, Gurgel. Yeah. I remember Johnny Lang's a really interesting person to talk to. He's such a down-to-earth, humble guy. And I remember him once, he said to me about stats, he said they're like guns, they get in the wrong hand and they're very dangerous, he said. That was Johnny Lang. funny guy, man.
Love it. All right, Dobbo, once again, thanks so much for having a chat. We'll catch up soon, buddy.
Cheers, mate.
There is Ben Dobbin. Next, we're talking about how much you do pay players. There's a story in the Telegraph. There's a rundown, the top 100, the breakdown of the best paid players in the NRL. We'll get there next on the Saturday Scrum.
Woo! The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. It's called the NRL Rich 100s, published in the Daily Telegraph today. The 100 countdown to number 51. Tomorrow you'll see the top 50 if you want to read it right now. You can check it all out at rich100.com.au. Nathan Brown, as a rugby league coach, firstly, do people on your list, on your roster, do those guys know what each other's getting paid?
I think more so these days it's more talked about from, look, one of the issues is when me and Gerds played, you had an agent. You stay with that agent. You never change. There was no swapping agents.
Yep.
No one really talked about money, did they, Gerds, in the sheds? You played for what you played for, and that's what you did. Where now, with the business side of rugby league being far, far more financial as far as salary caps go, you're talking $10 million instead of $3 million, when we first started, it was about $1.5 million up to $3 million. So what happens now is, in particular, like a player could go into an origin camp, or a player who's playing well might be on 200,000 and he's probably playing, he's developed a bit and he's playing a bit better than the bloke who's on 300,000. So person X will maybe get a player or from another management company and say, mate, you're not getting paid what you should because he's getting paid more than you're actually better than him. So then the poor old agent sometimes, I'm not saying the agents are perfect neither because some of them aren't good people, with the way they go with their business, but to defend some of the agents, then if that agent doesn't go and hit the club up to get more money, that player will leave him and go and join the agent who's told him he's going to get him more money. So we actually find ourselves in this really bad cycle where agents, if they're not doing X, this player that they've had on their books for X amount of years will leave him when he's done nothing wrong. He actually did a good deal for the player at the time. The player may be outgrown a little bit and a player is on a bit more money. He shouldn't know what he's on, but he knows because another player has told him because the agent knows what he's on, and it becomes a really bad cycle where we find ourselves in. And that's why I made the point a while ago last year that there's no such thing as a good deal now because if the club does a really good deal, the agent doesn't like it because the agent's a chance of losing the player because another agent will get under their guard. And if the agent does a great deal, well, then the club will get dark and they'll try and move the player. So we're in a really vicious cycle where we've all contributed to this way where we've all contributed as clubs, coaches, CEOs and managers where the morals in the game and contracts have probably gone a little bit north instead of south,
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we should preface this also by saying, I don't begrudge 1 cent that any of these players are getting paid. And there's obviously big dollars around. But, these guys are in careers that hinge on an ACL or, it can all be over very quickly. Even if they have a long career, it's relatively short. So they've got to, make what they can. Their injuries, they can tell when it's going to rain through their knees.
And it's not always a good thing, Tony, when you get given a lot by an organisation that expect a lot as well. And some people just don't handle that dynamic of their responsibilities once they're handed to them. And, you're going to go through there with some names that are going to surprise the people, not just on how much they're on, but on how little they're on and the impact they have on their organisation, which is highly successful.
Well, most valued to imagine at the moment is a man who stands at number 51, Luke Keary, on $700,000. I'd imagine when his contract, I think it ends the end of next year, his next one's going to be a lot bigger than that. He'll be much closer to number one, you'd think, than he is right now. But but there he is. The Titans. Now, the Titans have got five players in this. As I said, this is 100 to 51. Tyrone Peachey on $500,000. Kevin Proctor on $500,000. Nathan Peets on $550,000. Jared Wallace on $650,000. And Shannon Boyd on $650,000. Not all of them have delivered. I mean, Shannon Boyd's been a little bit, hasn't quite.
Injury prone. And the game changed a little bit, to be honest, with Shannon. He was a big body when he came through the Raiders system and ended up playing for his country there after a couple of seasons of first grade for the Raiders. Then was signed, I think, but Garth Brennan took him up there to the Titans. And, yeah, look, just got some injuries and the game changed. And now we've seen this, the ruck getting sped up through the middle and things like that. And he's just never been the same player, unfortunately.
But is it a case at the Titans where
it was a bad spend, $650,000, in my opinion, at that time. But we go back to that situation with, you know, the struggling clubs need to pay more to get players that come out of a good system. Now, he came out of a successful system. The Raiders were doing well at the time. It was a big scout for him. They needed some big body because they didn't have a lot of size. And at the time, probably seemed like the right thing to do. Unfortunately, they just got that one wrong.
Well, isn't that going to continue to happen with clubs that are at the bottom of the ladder? They're going to have to keep paying, whether there's such thing as overs, but to get players like even Kevin Proctor from that Melbourne system, they're going to have to keep doing that, aren't they, until they start making the eight, surely, because how do you stop that cycle?
Well, by developing juniors is really important, and obviously getting, you know, buying some players that mightn't obviously be, you know, a little bit older, have a little bit more experience and coming from really strong systems. I think that's really important. And I don't know, you speak about, Brandy, getting guys like Aiden Guerra up to the Newcastle Knights and then him attracting other players as well. So Shannon Boyd just wasn't that guy for the Titans. I looked there and Jai Arrow's not even on that list. I mean, he's doing the work of most of these guys on a weekly basis and he's not even getting paid what they are. So he'd be a little bit disappointed, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Unless he's in the top 50.
And
I don't think he is.
Different players are worth different values to different organisations. So it's not always you look at that price and think that bloke's getting overpaid. A player to an organisation, as I've made the point about Aiden Guerra before, now Aiden's made this list here of people saying he's overpaid, and that's fair enough if they want to say that. That's their opinion. But Mitchell Pearce and David Clemmer wouldn't be at the Knights if we didn't get Aiden Guerra. So for me, Aiden Guerra's, he did a huge job for the Knights. Now, whether people want to say he's overpaid or not, that's up to them. But and some of these other people on the list, the rule change is hurt, as Gerd said, that, you know, Shannon Boyd and Jared Wallace, the rule change doesn't suit that type of player. So that can be a bit of unfortunate, I suppose. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with paying overs if the person plays good for your organisation. Overs is a myth. If they're good players and they help your organisation get better, because at the end of the day, all the organisations that are at the bottom of the table won't get better until they do exactly what Gerd just said, produce their own really, really good players. Because really, really good players generally only go to, you know, over the years they've gone to the Broncos or they've gone to the Roosters. Not many clubs can buy at the top end of the market. So you've got to develop your own stars. And when you do that, the blokes you've paid overs for are not a problem.
That's it. And you pay over for the right person.
100%. Exactly right. Yeah.
Just some news here. Channel 7's Chris Gary is reporting David Fifita has told Broncos he has signed with the Titans. We were speaking to Dobbo a moment ago, and he said that as of this morning, he thought
big
that was the way
Titans
it was
going.
Big news for the Titans fans, and it's to do with this as well. But we're talking about that because they did bump up the offer. So 1.2, I think.
Yeah, 1.25.
Yeah, and then 1.1, then 1.1.
Outstanding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Outstanding.
Outstanding. Wow. It's important to have that balance in terms of the team harmony. I see here at the Eels, they got with their backs, Jennings and certainly they're running outside backs, Jennings and Fergo, both on $500,000, Wong and Blake and Sivo, both on $550,000. It's kind of a nice thing, those guys running out and doing the same sort of job, getting the same sort of bucks.
It is, but we're all different, and you probably get paid different to Maroon and Gerds gets paid different to Emma. At the end of the day, it's what you're seeing for that organisation. And if you get it wrong, that's when it's a problem. But David Fifita is a star. And those blokes at the Gold Coast aren't going to give a cahoots if he's getting paid 1.1, if he's going to do what we all know he's going to do, and that's be devastating. They won't have problem. Mm. They'll have a problem with it if he plays like a bucket of you-know-what, but he ain't going to do that, is he? It's when they don't deliver people have a problem with it, and that's when players get a bit shirty and say, well, why is he getting all this if he's not delivering the goods? But if they're delivering the goods, players have got no interest, no bother what anyone's getting paid.
All right, check it out for yourself. The NRL Rich 100 is in the Saturday Telegraph. You can read it if you check it out at rich100.com.au. We're going to have a chat with Mitchell Moses very shortly right here on the Saturday Scrum. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Great pleasure now to welcome one of the stars of our game to the microphone. He's a man who came back into the Eel side at the weekend after injury and then just went and did this.
Marty throws it left to Moses. Little chip and chase for himself. There's no one there. Spotted. No one at the back for the Tigers. And on tackle three, put in an audacious chip and chase. He's recovered and plunged over.
And he joins us now, Chip and Chase Mitchell Moses. Welcome. Congratulations, mate.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good. A good win for your boys. A tough game, but a good win, solid one.
Yeah, it was a tough game. You know, we had a few boys returning from being out the last couple of weeks. So, you know, it was a tough game, but it was good to get the win. But you know, we've obviously got to be better with our start.
Can I just go back to the very start of the show today, Mitch? I was talking about the sense of occasion rule. I just don't know if Blake Ferguson has been chatting with you about the try that wasn't the greatest no try ever scored. Has he lingered on it? Is it worrying him at all?
No, man, I haven't spoken to him about it, but it was unbelievable the way he finished that try. He obviously hasn't scored one this year, and everyone knows that. So he's actually stinging for a try. So I think I'm going to be going to him a bit more often now that he's finished and stuff like that.
Looked like pretty physical game. There was a bit of bad blood between, you know, you guys and the Tigers. How did it feel out in the field?
Yeah, it was pretty physical game, like you said. At the start of the game, we made a couple of errors and just, you know, let him into the game pretty, you know, kept him in the game, I guess. But, you know, once we got back to our footy, which was going set for set, and kicking to the corners and, you know, using our momentum that way, I found that we got on top of them and obviously come away with the win.
Speaking of physicality, Nathan Brown, I loved it when he singled out young Sean Bloor because he wasn't happy. He just ran straight at him. What is it like playing with Brownie? He's just, I mean, his aggression is just, it's so good to watch. I mean, keeping it under control, obviously, within the rules.
Exactly. That's what we need a game to do. But, you know, he's unbelievable. He's a mental case, but what he does with us as a leader, I guess, and he really leads by his actions, and what he does on the field is very inspiring, and you know, helps us boys out. So, but you know, he's taking his game to the next level this year. He's got to rein it in sometimes, I guess.
I just like what Sean Bloor had to say. He said, "I'm just I'm honoured." He even wanted to have an argument with me, which is good for a 19-year-old kid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch, the chip and chase, young Adam Dewey's been spending a lot of time in the line. Was that a pre-video thing that you picked up on or something off the cuff?
Yeah, it was a bit of video there. Brad, you know, we got early in the week. It was me and Brad and a couple of assistant coaches on the top of the field, and we were just talking about a kicking game and what's going to happen, and watched a few clips on how he is in the front of the line. And, you know, that's just, you know, that's how our coach is doing all their work and, you know, feeding us all the video that we can, and then, you know, me just following it, I guess, and I was just lucky that I got the bounce and he didn't get to it, I guess.
Are you someone that watches lots of footy yourself, Mitch?
Yeah, I like watching pretty much every game. You know, I know that there's players out there that, you know, obviously try to get away from it, but I love my footy and, you know, anyway that, you know, I'm always texting Brad during the games and that, seeing where we can get opposition teams and reverse them the week after and things like that. So, you know, I find that it helps my game out, and anything that can give me a little edge, I guess, in the coming weeks, I'll do.
How'd you feel Dylan Brown did while you're having a couple of weeks off?
Yeah, he was good. Obviously, it made it pretty clear that in the COVID break, I tore my calf, so he was pretty much taking control the whole break for 5 weeks. So he obviously learned a bit there, but you know, obviously to put it into practice in the game situations, I thought he'd done pretty well. Yeah, I just came back in. It was easy for me to come back in as a team this week with him there. He just had to run the footy, and you know, I'd take a bit of pressure off him, I guess, as well.
Keen to have a crack at Sonny Bill Williams if he comes back in?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think any team would love to have him in their side. He's a classy player, and you know, I think he's been pretty harsh done by with everyone saying that he hasn't been playing that good when he was at Toronto. I think he was, you know, involved in a lot of stuff, and he was trying really hard. Just things weren't probably sticking, but I don't think he's really lost anything. So I think any team would love to have him.
Sitting on top of the table at the moment, obviously the Panthers have a say in that over the weekend, but how does the team feel confidence-wise?
Yeah, it's we'll obviously take a bit of confidence out of it. We've obviously had a tough 10 or 11 weeks, whatever it is, of footy. And, you know, we've got a 10-day turnaround going into this Bulldogs game. So the boys are, you know, resting up the body over the weekend. It's kind of like our bye, I guess, that we're going to have to this week for the season. We don't really get one for the whole season. So we're going to take it as kind of a bye going into the Bulldogs game. So the boys are going to rest up and hopefully be ready for the Bulldogs. But, yeah, like I said, it's been a tough 10 weeks. And we're obviously sitting at the top at the moment without Penrith playing yet. But, I guess we're pretty happy with the way we're playing at the moment.
All right, mate. Lovely to catch up again. Congratulations on a great return to the game.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
There he is, Mitchell Moses. Brania, as a coach, when you watch the chip and chase, spectacular when it comes off.
Oh, brilliant.
Terrifying when it doesn't.
Brilliant. And, you know, a breath of fresh air too to see a kid that actually loves playing footy. And if your halfback doesn't love watching the game when he's not there, he's not a footy head. He's not the right halfback for your club. So, yeah. Mitchell Pearce was the same.
Yeah.
You know, Mitchell Moses, these kids that want to be, these blokes that are playing in the halves at the elite level, they need to be watching the game and self-teaching themselves and talking to their coach. Because there is an element of play that gets away from the game and doesn't want to look at it, which is fine. Mm. But the ones in key positions is it helps their development.
We won't get too excited, Tone, until we see a chip and chase regather and score from their own half. Yeah. That's the challenge for one of the halves.
Well, I think Corey Norman tried that for the Dragons last week against the Bulldogs. Didn't come off so well. This is the Saturday Scrum. We're doing it for King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires, and this.
Believe it or not, believe it or not.
Oh, producer Charlie, can you believe what he had written there? I'm not even going to do that. I'm not going to glorify this.
Yeah. You had nothing to do with it,
Tom? I had nothing to do with it. He sits out there and he just, I know he's had an evening, he's been bitter and twisted. Mm. He's come through. Sonny Bill Williams is an overrated has-been.
Yeah. He wasn't even born in 2013, was he, Charlie?
No, Charlie's like, he's 12.
Yeah.
And he hasn't seen Sonny Bill play.
We've got to excuse him then.
Are you sure you didn't write these?
No. I wrote the quiz, the Sonny Bill Williams quiz, which was, you know, glorifying and loving him.
I tell you what was interesting, both of the guests we've had, Brandon Smith and Mitch Moses, both pointed out, they said that the criticism of Sonny Bill has been unfair, with everyone saying that he hasn't been in good form when he was playing for Toronto.
And you can, the excitement they both have, both, you know, young, good players, the idea of playing against him, which goes directly to what you were saying before, Brandon, what a good thing it is.
But he played about two games.
Yeah.
And I'm tipping the people that bagged his form haven't even watched him.
You know what? This is what...
Honestly, this is
what I feel like people would have seen. Uh-huh. I doubt that anyone really, many would have watched the game. But going around, as you know, we understand how the media works. Mm-hmm. Things get clipped up. There are headlines, and there are a couple of drop balls that he had. A few things that were clipped up, and it went viral. And everyone's saying, "Oh, Sonny Bill, he's lost it because he, you know, spilled his lollies a couple of times." But not many of those people would have genuinely watched that game.
No. Look, the other bit of news, just repeating, Channel 7's Chris Garry is reporting David Fifita has told the Broncos he has signed with the Titans, and we'll try to confirm that before. All right, okay, we'll leave the Sonny Bill Williams out because that's just a young man who's just, I don't know, something's gone wrong with Charlie, so we won't go there. Here's the one, though. Corey Harawira-Naera, the signing of Corey Harawira-Naera, makes the Raiders a top four team, Nathan Brown.
What he certainly does is he fits in line with the recruitment strategy that obviously Pete Mulholland and Sticky have had going on. He's a back rower who's got footwork, who's got a bit of speed, and who can play before the line or in the line. So he's a football player. He's not a big athletic robot, I suppose. Yeah. So you know, if you look at Bateman and Whitehead and all these blokes, they can all catch and pass. They can all beat people. They can all unload the ball. So the Raiders have bought someone that become available that fits their strategy.
Good.
Playing the way they did last week makes them a top four side, Tony. And obviously the loss of Hodgson is irreplaceable. Starling did a pretty good job, though, and he's a good pickup. And, a bit of consistency for the Raiders and they'll be top four.
Okay.
I think it's, really good signing, particularly given he's going there straight away. And with the injuries they have, not only Hodgson, Bateman, Horsburgh, Soliola, Emre Gula, Simonson, like their injury list is incredibly long, so good pickup.
All right, let's go the other way then, from the Raiders to the Bulldogs. Believe it or not, the Bulldogs overpaid for Nick Kotrick. Now he's being paid over 3 years, $1.95 million. It was too much for what the Raiders wanted, and he wanted to move from the wing to the centre. I'm still trying to get my head around Gerds, and you may be able to help me. Who's more value in a rugby league team these days, the centre or the wing? It's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it comes down to the individual and what we were talking about before with that list, Tony. I mean, what you get from the people off the field as well, the experience that they bring, the system that they've been involved in. And obviously, you've brought an Origin player here, so I don't know if he's the kind of guy that can coerce other people to come and play for the organisation when he goes into Origin camp. But he's a valuable player. We know the Bulldogs need to pay a little bit more to get quality players at the organisation at the moment. So I think they paid a little bit too much, but they need some outside backs. He's a talented guy, and I think it'd be great for him long term. But yeah, he's an expensive purchase.
Yeah, I don't think they overpaid, just because I think they had to start getting to get big names. And again, he might not be the person that everyone's saying, I want to go the Bulldogs because of Nick Kotrick, but at the very least, he's an Origin player, Kangaroos player. So I think you need to start doing that. And again, from a good system like the Raiders, I think they've got to start somewhere.
I like it because if you look at the Bulldogs' backs, they don't really, or the Bulldogs football club as a whole in their squad, they really don't have anybody that beats anybody. And that kid beats a lot of tackles. Yeah. Centre is the position he wants to play. With the new rules, centre's become a much, much more valued position in our game. With the change of rules, centres are getting much more one-on-one footy. Whether they beat their man, they can promote the ball and put their winger away or create much more opportunity. So the Dogs had to start somewhere. Did they pay too much for him? If he plays really good, they didn't pay too much for him.
Yeah. And finally, believe it or not, the Rabbitohs will miss the top eight this year, Brownie.
Well, that's a possibility. Yeah, that is a real possibility. They come into the year a little skinny in the forwards. It was the position where they lost three, one of the best ever forwards in Sam Burgess. They lost his brother, who's obviously been a handy player, and John Sutton, who's been a very, very good South Sydney Stort for a long time. They didn't replace any of those blokes with anyone of note. Well, they, in theory, replaced them with Latrell Mitchell. They've got Jai Arrow coming next year. My feeling is South are setting themselves up to open a window next year. That's what I firmly believe with. And I think what we see South do this year, they'll be far better next year because their forward pack will be better.
Em?
I still think they can make the eight. They've struggled with injuries too. Obviously, no Sutton Burgess, but then they've lost a couple of season-ending injuries as well. They've had Tom Amone, even injuries in their outside backs. But I think when Latrell's there, Damien Cook's there, Cody Walker, they've still got some of the best players in the game. So I think there's still, in the next couple of weeks, some easier games. I think they've got Dragons, Cowboys over the next sort of couple of weeks. So I think they'll still be in the eight somewhere.
Good.
I don't believe it, Tony.
Don't believe it.
Is
that it?
Yeah, well, you said, believe it, that's the game, isn't it? Believe it or not.
We've been playing about five years.
Top eight this year, and I don't believe it. I think they'll be in the eight. I think they'll be in a scrap for seventh and eighth spot with probably Manly, the Tigers, and the Sharkies, who are making a bit of a run, but we're halfway through the season. I think they'll be thereabouts.
All right, there you have it, believe it or not. Next, we go into Coach's Corner with Nathan Brown.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for Kim G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have your company. Just over an hour now before kickoff, the Warriors and the Roosters at 2 o'clock. Peter Sterling will join us. Right now, though, it's time for a little bit of this.
The Coach's Corner with Nathan Brown.
Always great and fascinating to get a little bit of an insight from the coach himself. Brownie, what has caught your eye?
Big Tino Fass, I'm going to call him, because I don't want to get his last...
Are we? Yep.
Yeah, I've got his name wrong. Yep. So I'll call him Big Tino. Yep. Melbourne?
Yep.
So Big Tino, a number of years ago, was at the Broncos, and he was with Payne Haas and Flegler and Carrigan and Fifita and all these players that are obviously all very, very talented young kids. And for whatever reason, he made a decision to go to Melbourne. And if you watch Big Tino play last night and actually his past 6 weeks of footy, and you compare him to the young Brisbane players, you would see which players' development is really surging forward as opposed to the ones that have probably maybe been a bit up and down or stagnated. Mm-hmm. And I'd say Big Tino's take Fifita out if he hasn't been playing, but I'd say Big Tino's gone past all of the Brisbane forwards. Yeah, two reasons.
Yep.
One is he is playing with very experienced players. That helps, like your Jesse Bromwiches, Kafusis, Christian Welch, you know, he's been around a while now, Welchy. Dale Finucane, obviously Cameron Smith. So he's playing very, very experienced players, which is obviously helping his development. But, if, you know, Craig Bellamy's coaching style and his staff's coaching style, you know, some coaches, I suppose, coach on game models and tactics and game plans, which all coaches have to an extent. But one of the great attributes Melbourne do is they actually really work hard on the fundamentals of the game. They do a lot of time of individual coaching, positional coaching. And if you look at Big Tino now, I reckon he's the price he paid to go to Melbourne, he's getting that back now in spades with his game. He's far, far more consistent than the other younger players that have left him. And basically it's a, you know, I think we all know how good a coach Craig Bellamy and the system is he runs, but that's why Bellamy's system's so good, because players go there and get a lot better in the fundamentals. It's not flashy stuff. It's just basics of the game, which if any young kid does it well, under pressure they start to hold up. And last night I thought he was a standout, Tino.
Is it different for that system that you say has improved him so markedly? With young players coming through, do you have to offer them different things, depending on their personality type, those sorts of things?
Well, at the end of the day, personality can be different, but at the end of the way, how a middle forward needs to play is how a middle forward needs to play. It doesn't really matter what his personality is, you know. So, I mean, I was fortunate at St. George in the 90s when Brian Smith in the 90s, all throughout the 90s and early 2000s, Brian was a coach who really improved players a lot. It was quite noted, you know, all our grand final sides at St. George. Yeah, we were
overachieving.
Yeah, we had far worse sides in the opposition, far less talent, but Brian taught the fundamentals of the game really, really well, you know. So I was fortunate to get that. And, yeah, Craig Bellamy's certainly been at the forefront of that in the past 10 or 15 years, where players go there who look like they might be just an okay player and they become a good player, or they might be a good player who becomes a very good player.
So he was in the Brisbane system. So it's interesting to see that he made a decision then, obviously through his management or whatever reason, to go down to Craig Bellamy and the system there at Melbourne, whether it was financial, whatever. But then even before he'd played a lot of first grade, decided to then sign a contract with the Titans, who are basically at the other end of the spectrum.
Well, yeah, I think what's happened there is, I think he's from that area. He's from out the back of Gympie. I think it's Gympie he might be from. So he's decided that he's wanted to come back, and it was either Broncos or Titans, because he wants to be at home, I believe.
Okay.
So I think he become, like, for the Titans, he become a bit of a gift, I suppose you could say. They saw the talent in him. Obviously, everyone knew Big Tino was going to be a good player, but Big Tino's become a better player quicker for the coaching style of Craig Bellamy and his staff. That's my point to the whole thing. Why has he come home? I think it's he wanted to be back in your family.
Yep.
Me personally, I'd have loved to have seen him stay at Melbourne for another 18 months or 2 years, but if you look at the kid, I was real nervous coming into the preseason because he signed the big money deal to go to the Gold Coast, and he was still, last year when he played, he was only playing, you know, Bellamy could play him 15 or 20 minutes here and there. He was in and out because he wasn't quite ready. And I was real worried that he's got the big contract. He's going to be, let's say it, rat's ass because he's got the big money to go to. But I was talking to Jason Rolls at the end of the preseason. I said, how's Big Tino going? He goes, mate, he's training outstanding. And I think what the kid's going to do is, if he's as good a kid as what they tell me is, and good a trainer, I think he's going to take his habits with him, and he's going to be an outstanding signer for the Gold Coast, and he'll go to the Gold Coast and he'll probably help some of them blokes become a better player. Even though he's a kid, he'll be able to help them. You know, I think he's, if they get Fifita, they got Moataki, if they can get a good experience one to go with them, they're really starting to cook, aren't they?
Yeah,
in the middle, yeah.
And speaking of being part of that good system and getting the fundamentals right, do you think we've seen that too with someone like Harry Grant, who's then taking that to the Tigers? And, I mean, they could have rushed him at Melbourne. I know they've got Cameron Smith and Brandon Smith, but, I mean, really, the stuff that he picks up at Melbourne, he's another good example of young kid getting all of those fundamentals right. And he would be the starting hooker at any other club other than Melbourne.
There's a lot of clubs he'd start at, definitely. And obviously I study the hooker game a lot. And his ability with his use of his footwork and deception around the ruck is very, very good. His decision-making is obviously quite good. The other day he actually had a few areas of his game which I reckon he'd be finished with. He probably wouldn't have been quite as happy with, but he's 20. But Harry Grant, we made the point a few weeks ago, he's getting the benefit now of not being shopped around 2 years ago to get out of a club because he couldn't play first grade because he had Cameron Smith and Brandon Smith ahead of him, he's going to get the value for the rest of his life for having a, obviously, he must be well brought up. He must have good parents for being patient. Because so many kids today, once they get a bit of a sniff that they're decent, the manager, sometimes parents get involved and they want their son to play first grade quicker than what they should, and their form can be a little up and down, you know, where this kid's bided his time. He's been the best player in Q Cup for 18 months. And apart from good coaching, he must have a decent upbringing and he's been patient. And he's going to get the rewards of that for the next 10 years.
You said you studied hookers. In your day, were you when the scrum was actually a contest?
No way in the world.
You never?
No.
Oh.
No, there's no contest in my day. I don't think I'd have went there.
Sterlo's in here. It was a contest when he was there. Obviously not the hooker, but as feeding the scrum. Hey, Sterlo, welcome to the show.
We used to call him Python because he wouldn't strike.
Sterlo's been saving that one. He's been waiting for the right time to strike.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it fit him to a T, didn't it?
That is great. I love it. Sorry, Gert. I love the old days of, you know, not so much the contested scrum, but, you know, the hooker with the loose arm going in. Oh, terrific. All right, and once again, a terrific Coach's Corner. Thank you so much, Brownie. You, Ryan Girdle, are going to sit out for half an hour. Sterlo will join us in just a few minutes. Reedy is in as well. We count down towards kickoff. The Roosters taking on the Warriors right here on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.